You are Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Cubs fans, and welcome to Locked On Cubs. I'm your host, Joe Kilgallen. You can follow me on Twitter. That's simply at Joe Kilgallen. Give this podcast a follow as well. That is at Locked On Cubs. Hope you're all doing very well this fine afternoon. It is Thursday, July 22nd. The trade deadline is coming at us fast. It is about 8 days away or so. Is it July 30th or 31st? 31 days are in July. So July 31st is the deadline. A lot of anxiety building amongst Cubs fans. And I think some of us are like, just make a move already. I'll be recapping the Cubs' loss last night to the St. Louis Cardinals, in which they lost in extra innings by a score of 3-2. I'll also be talking about how Yadier Molina, despite hitting the walk-off game-winning single last night, is still incredibly overrated. And also, let's take a look at Anthony Rizzo. He is under some flack right now. People are very upset with his play of late. So I want to analyze that a little bit, and we'll have some more fun with it, won't we? This episode is brought to you by Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Aram Layton brings you player interviews and farm system breakdowns every day. So subscribe to Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. Cubs superstar prospect Brennan Davis is absolutely tearing it up in AA. I figured I might as well bring that up now after giving that ad to the MLB Prospects podcast. He is now ranked number 17th overall by Fangraph's top 100 prospects. Number 17. He'll be a top 10 consensus. I mean, Baseball America will probably have him there. MLB.com. I believe he'll be a top 10 prospect at the start of the 2022 season, and he'll find his way at Wrigley Field, I'm guessing, mid-May, early June at the latest. He will be our starting center fielder. Get excited, because he is going, I really think the ceiling is very high for one Brennan Davis. Again, only 21 years old, tearing up AA. I think that I read something like he's the fourth best hitter. This was 3 days ago, and he's hit like three home runs since then. But they were saying he was the fourth best hitter in AA. The three top hitters were all 2 years older than him. So I think we got a winner there. I think we got someone who could be a potential MVP guy in Brennan Davis. So there is some light at the end of the tunnel, Cubs fans. The farm system is going to be a top 15 farm system, I imagine, by the end of the season, maybe even a little higher. The farm's looking up. So we'll get to a lot of that, though. Don't worry about that. The Cubs did fall last night to the St. Louis Cardinals in Busch Stadium. They have now lost two of the first three in this four-game set. So hopefully they win tonight to split the series. Adam Wainwright was pitching for the Cardinals, and the Cubs did not do much against Adam Wainwright. They've got to find a way to start hitting guys they should be hitting. Adam Wainwright is still a solid pitcher, but he is not what he was 7 years ago, 8 years ago. And it's really, I want to take a bat against him. I know, I'm sure he'd strike me out, but still, the stuff isn't overwhelming. I don't know what it is with this team's approach, or what it is, or, you know, I've said numerous times that I feel like this season kind of has had a black cloud hanging over it from Jump Street. And that really, it shows by the play. Now, is this a reflection of manager David Ross? I wouldn't think so. Because again, this team could have rolled over and died in April, and they came fighting back, and he was playing the bullpen like a violin, like a master. You know, in the month of May and through June, he was doing a great job. I think one of the biggest things when I view a manager is how do they handle the bullpen? Because that's really their biggest task. Putting a lineup together, for the most part, it evens out over the course of time. I mean, there's some obvious choices where it's like, why would you put that guy there? You know, this isn't back when Dusty Baker used to bat Nathan Perez in the two hole, a guy who got on base 25% of the time. This is, so for the most part, a manager's big strength is how do they handle a bullpen? And I think he'd done a fantastic job. And I know some people would be like, well, what about this time or this time? I'm like, you could do that with every manager. The Cubs bullpen was rated number one in baseball. You have to give him credit for that. And I definitely think that this team was inspired to play hard through up until the 11 game losing streak. Once the wheels came off, once the injuries added up, it became too much. And I think they just started to hang their heads low. And I don't think anyone could have gotten them out of that rut. Now, there's a lot of famous managers over the years who have been very good at boosting morale or taking the pressure off their team. I thought that was Joe Maddon's big strength, especially with a young team. He was very good at taking the pressure off and reminding them that this is a game and it's supposed to be fun and all that. I think David Ross knows that, but I think this is a different scenario than any guy in his first full season as a manager has ever dealt with. Think about this. This is his first full season as a manager, and he has a team that feels like half of whom are playing their final days with this team. So many guys are on 1 year contracts to start the season. Let's go over it too. A little fresher course for everybody. We all know the big three, Bryant, Javi, Rizzo. You throw in Jock Peterson, Craig Kimbrell, essentially, even though with the option, Andrew Chafin, Ryan Tepera, Jock Peterson. He's now in Atlanta. Wilson Contreras has another year, so I guess he wouldn't count under that. But then you have Jake Arrieta, who's essentially a one-year guy because it's a club option. The Cubs could easily, it's up to them. So he's playing for his next season as well. Zach Davies. There was a lot of players who were kind of going into this thinking, I need to play great because I'm playing for my next big contract. Now, a lot of players do respond well in those scenarios. Carlos Correa in Houston is in his final year with Houston, the team that he's been with since the start of his career. I'm sure there's part of him that's thinking, are you guys going to extend me or what? So for whatever reason, he's responding and he's killing it. Not everyone's the same. Not everyone's gone through what some of these guys have gone through with this organization, with this city. So I definitely can. And the Astros, by the way, went for it this year. They showed no signs of not wanting to compete in 2021, where the Cubs, as we all know, traded away Yu Darvish, cut their payroll by about $60 million. You let go of your ace and you don't really add to your spending. That doesn't really say much to your team. And I think they were fighting through that. I think the Cubs were trying to prove ownership in the front office wrong by saying, no, we are a competitive team. We are one of the best teams in the NL Central. And it was going well for a while until injuries and then inevitable bad performances from the starting pitching showed up. So I feel like sometimes I have to lay this out for myself as a fan and for you guys as fans to realize that there was a lot going into this season that makes it hard for us to really judge manager David Ross. Think about it. Think about the start of his career. I think a lot of people didn't want him to succeed. They wanted to swear him off before he even started because they're like, he's buddies with them. These are his beer drinking pals. You know, he goes to country music concerts with them. Right? Him and Rizzo were in a glass case of emotion together. There's no way he's going to be able to manage these guys, which I thought was really unfair. You know, maybe you're thinking of you and your friends and how you wouldn't want them to be your boss, but I truly believe that that had nothing to do with it. I think they were ready to play hard for him and they were going to respect him because that's the way it was when he was a player. He was the bad cop. Every report read about the 2016 Cubs or the Joe Maddon Cubs in general were that Joe Maddon was basically like grandpa. He was the real grandpa. He was Grandpa Joe. He wasn't a guy that was going to call anyone out or hold anyone accountable or put him behind the woodshed or whatever. He wasn't the guy to bench anyone for bad play. That just wasn't, he's not that guy, and that's fine. But he had Ross. And, you know, Lackey and Montero were there too. But Ross was the main guy. All the stories were I was messing around and not paying attention and not respecting the game. And Rossi pulled me aside and set my mind right. Those were the stories. So then Ross's first season as Cubs manager is the 2020 pandemic season. You're managing a 60-game weird schedule, not traveling much, and your team, your players can't go anywhere. You guys are basically in your own little isolated bubble. I know it wasn't like the NBA bubble where they're all in Orlando, but essentially, you know, these guys couldn't go out to dinner. There was no, oh man, I'm in an 0-for-18 slump, which even great players go through. Even Mike Trout will go 1-for-20 on a stretch. And like normal human beings, they want to take their mind off it. You're having a bad week at work. It's like, all right, I'm going to call up the boys or the girls or whoever, and we're going to go get a couple cocktails and forget about it. We're going to go to the casino. Not just baseball players can do that, of course. I'm not crazy. It was a tough year for everybody, and it was a new experience. That's why there was a lot of really good players who had bad 2020s. Nolan Arenado, Christian Yelich, Pete Alonso, Bryant, Baez, and Rizzo, of course. Shohei Ohtani was really bad last year. There were numerous players who normally put up all-star level numbers that had bad seasons. It wasn't just our Cubs who had bad offensive years in the year 2020. Then David Ross's second season as manager, which would be his first full season, he has to deal with a team that's not 85% vaccinated, so they couldn't enjoy what other teams were able to do, and he encouraged them to get vaccinated. Then they traded his ace before the season starts. They let go. You know, it was just, that's a lot to go through. So, and again, I'm not saying, you know, let's have a pity party for David Ross or any of these players. They're professionals. They're getting paid very, very well. There's no denying that. But in the same regard, you do need to look at the big picture as a whole. So I still have a lot of faith in David Ross. I think he's going to be a great manager. He's going to have a long, great managerial career. I have no doubt in my mind about that. Now, with that being said, he did have a couple head scratchers of choices yesterday. Kyle Hendricks was taken out, and that's when the Cardinals tied the game at one and ended up taking a 2-1 lead in the seventh inning, in which, you know, he let Hendricks bat previously. So a lot of people were thinking, oh, he let him bat, so he must want to get another inning or two out of him. But then he runs into trouble, and it's like, all right, I got to get him out of there. It's kind of one of those situations where it's like maybe he shouldn't have started the inning if you were going to yank him at the first sign of anything, you know? So maybe a little lack of focus there, a little lack of focus, I should say. Some a lapse in judgment is probably what I was trying to say, but instead I jungled all that together. Or, you know what I'm saying? See, we're all struggling right now. We're all struggling right now. Cubs players are struggling. The Cubs front office is struggling. Managers, coaches, Cubs podcasters are also struggling. This episode is brought to you in part by Fully Loaded Chew. Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free, long-cut, and pouches that give you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz you used to without tobacco. Available in 9 flavors. Fully Loaded Chew. I hope they have wintergreen. That's one of my faves. Fully Loaded Chew, back when I used to dip. I don't do that anymore. But you can, because this is the good stuff. With all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine, this is the purest form of nicotine available, everyone. The good stuff. So you want to check this out, everyone. Here's the deal. This is an amazing deal. Fully Loaded Chew is the best deals. Fully Loaded Chew is offering Locked On team listeners a special offer right now. You could try a can for just $1. That's right, just $1. Go to FullyLoadedChew.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. And you could be hanging out, right? It's summer in Chicago. Maybe playing a little 16-inch softball. You're getting that little dipper snap going. I know I got national listeners. Maybe you go play 12-inch softball, right? You got yourself a nice fresh tin. You go say, hey, you want to share? You get a little pinch. You get a little pinch too, right? All of a sudden, you're the life of the park. Who doesn't love that? Go to FullyLoadedChew.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON for just $1 in free shipping. And it's coming your way. So again, use that code locked on at checkout. Next time you go for a dip, make it Fully Loaded Chew, FullyLoadedChew.com. Rock Auto. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. So why endure often pointless and seemingly intimidating questions and wait while the person behind the counter goes looking in the back? Everything's always in the back. Hey, do you have this part? I think it might be in the back. Put it in the front, guy. How about that, right? So here's what you really want to do. You want to hop on your computer or your phone, go to rockauto.com, right? Because Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers online for over 20 years now. Rock Auto's prices are reliable for every customer. They have all the parts available for your car or truck. So just go to rockauto.com, write locked in their how did you hear about us box to let them know that Locked On Cubs sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. So here's some interesting parts from the game. What made it exciting for the Cubs? For the second day in a row, the Cubs tied the game in the ninth. We all know on Tuesday night, they won it in epic fashion, scoring 6 runs in the top of the ninth to win the game 7-6. Now we're down 2-1. Nico Hoerner gets hit by a pitch. He makes it. He's first base. We got 2 outs now. And who's the person to save the game? A lot of people are thinking, oh, well, this is an obvious spot for one Chris Bryant. Now, Chris Bryant got pulled from Tuesday's game with some tender hamstring itis or something. His legs felt a little heavy, I was told, and tired. It was a really weird explanation for why Chris Bryant was pulled. David Ross, before the game, said he's available to pinch hit, and he expects them in the starting lineup for Thursday night's game. which to me and a lot of fans took that as they're being very, very cautious with Chris Bryant because the plans are probably to trade 1KB. And there's no value in someone who's banged up. But if it's like, oh, he's fine, we're just taking it easy because what's the point? We're trying to keep him fresh for you, his new team. Or even so, with us being basically out of it, if we were to extend him, you might as well be cautious with him too, because what's the point of a serious injury? You know? Like if Adbert Alzolay, who's pitching tonight for the Cubs, if he's cruising in the fifth inning, but all of a sudden we see him picking at his fingernail, get him out of there. And I know fans are going to be like, well, were they soft? It's like, guys, I hate to be this person because you know me. You know I'm a very optimistic Cubs fan. I believe the glass is half full. I'm one of those people that's like, hey, until we're mathematically eliminated, but let's also be realistic. We're not making the playoffs this year. And I hope someone clips this, and I hope we magically do make the playoffs, and you throw it in my face. I will gladly wear this if I'm wrong and we make an epic comeback in the NL Central or grab the wild card. Be phenomenal. But right now, we're not. So any of our young players, if they look like there's anything a little bit bothering them, take them out of the game. Why risk it? There's no glory. There's no glory in winning 83 games. There just isn't. And I hate that it's come to that, but there's a truth to the matter. Like if Nico Horner is standing on second base, adjusting his cup too much, something's wrong. Get him out of there. And if he's like, I just had an itch, we're like, I don't care. You go in the hot tub and take care of that itch. We're not risking you having an itchy groin. All right, Nico, you mean too much to the future of this ball club. We love you, Nico. Go sit down. You know, that's how I want everything being treated at this point. But Chris Bryant didn't even come off the bench to pitch hit. It made for a really weird series of events in which backup catcher Robinson Chirino was playing second base. Patrick Wisdom got thrown out to right field, which eventually cost them the game. I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit, but who was the pinch hit with the game on the line? Eric Sogard. And every Cubs fan is like, Eric Sogard, one of the worst players in baseball. Oh, this is a loss. Game over. LOL. Ha ha ha. What does Sogard do? Bam. Double to the gap. Here comes Nico, who's a phenomenal base runner. Great defensive player too. Really love Nico Horner's game. Some people say he doesn't have power. Doesn't really need it. So Nico comes around to score, tie the game at two. Eric Sogard's the hero. Little reminder, Cubs fans, Eric Sogard is hitting over 300 as a pinch hitter, which should have been his role the whole year. When Duffy and Nico went down, did Sogard start playing too much? Yeah, he did. But if he was just a pinch hitter all season, I don't think there would have been as much hate. Just throwing that out there. I mean, I know the whole vaccine and him, some of his views people have a problem with, but I'm talking about from a player performance standpoint. As a pinch hitter, he seems to be pretty competent. So we tie the game. You know, they got that whole extra inning rule. We go to the 10th. Here's where things get really ugly. Anthony Rizzo, who made the last out in the 9th, is now going to be on second base to start the 10th inning. Now, I suppose they could have pinch run for him right away. They did not. Javi gets a base hit. It's first and third. Rizzo didn't even get a good read on that one. He kind of went back a little bit. I don't know if it was like, the ball was hit hard, so you got to let line drives go through, but it felt like, you got it off the bat. Either way, they're not going to send Rizzo there. He's not fast. The ball was hit way too hard. He gets the third. No big deal. Whatever. I'm just pointing that out there because it seems something to be off. Rizzo's on third. Ian Happ comes up. Now, Ian Happ was the hero on Tuesday night. Would he be the hero again? No. No, he would not. And man, is it getting really, really bleak when it comes to Ian. It's just, you try to find a little something to spin it positive and to hope he gets back on track and hope he shows the talent he's shown in previous seasons. And I don't know what it is. I don't. Ian hits a double play ball that looked to be your typical 5-4-3 double play. But shortstop Sosa stepped on second and then noticed Rizzo kind of hesitated. Didn't go right away. So when he saw Rizzo wasn't going right away, he fired home. They get Anthony in a rundown. Anthony gets tagged out. Ian goes up to second. So instead of two outs, and maybe if he goes right away, I still think if he goes right away, they just send it right away and it's bang, bang at the plate. Some people think he would have gone right away. He scores. Two outs, were up by one. Obviously a much better result. It was a strange thing though, because when the shortstop got the ball, he did glance over Rizzo, who did kind of freeze. And I think Anthony was anticipating then breaking for the play as soon as the guy started to go towards first. If he breaks right away, possibly scores. So, and again, this is bad base running in Anthony Rizzo. I'm not twisting it in any way. I'm not sticking up for him. It was a bad base running play. I'm just trying to figure out what maybe he was thinking. I think that's an important thing too. You know, maybe he wasn't thinking. Maybe his focus isn't there. Some people are thinking, all right, well, Ross needs to bench him for this terrible play. Again, I think there's a difference. People need to stop. Mental errors and physical errors are different. Now, a base running blunder like that, you're like, well, that's kind of a mental error. And I'm like, well, that's just kind of being a bad base runner. That wasn't him not knowing how many outs there were. That wasn't him, you know, not taking a lead off, which is, you know, I'm not, look, I love Javi. In that game, though, before he rounded second because he thought there was two outs when there was only one, he also didn't take a lead off on a pitch. Like two pitches before that play, the pitcher threw the ball to the plate and Javi was still standing on first. That's how lost and not in the game he was in. And that was before things really, that was on its way to spiraling out of control for that 11-game losing streak. So, you know, when people now everyone wants, anytime someone makes another blunder, people are like, you're going to take him out too? And they're throwing out accusations of, you know, Rizzo favoritism from Ross. Ross never going to pull out Rizzo or Bryant, but he would reprimand Javi and Wilson. Is that some sort of racial thing? And I just feel like that is just complete and utter BS. I really do. Okay, there's just no evidence of that at all. And to think that is wrong. He's a huge Wilson Contreras fan. David Ross is saying Wilson Contreras' praises in every chance he's gotten since Wilson was called up in June of 2016. Wilson credited Rossi so much for helping him adjust to the majors. So for people to be like, oh, he doesn't like Wilson. No, he just said Wilson shouldn't go to the press. Go to your team first. You got a problem with your team, you talk about it in the clubhouse. He was on the Lawrence Holmes show on 670 The Score last week, right when the All-Star break was starting up again, or the second half, I should say, was starting up again. Lawrence Holmes asked Ross the question about Contreras talking to the press, and he brought up a story about how in 2015 or 2016, you know, the pitchers were having a little bit of a bad time, and Rizzo brought up, said he kind of called out the pitching staff to the press. Very next day, Lester tore Rizzo apart in that clubhouse, and Rizzo was like, I learned a valuable lesson that day. There you go. Same rule applies. You don't go to the press when you have a problem with your team. Now, again, I said, if Wilson was saying this all along, if Wilson's like, I bring it up all the time in the clubhouse, I got frustrated to the point where I'm like, you know what? I'm going to tell the press because I want the press to know and the fans to know that I do give a crap, and I'm letting this team know that this type of play is beneath us. So yeah, that's how that's been right now. It's been a real frustrating time for us Cubs fans. You never want to lose to the Cardinals. I keep trying to find silver linings to this. Hey, higher draft pick, right? What's the point? Again, if we're doing this rebuild thing, you need a better draft pick. Let's lose out. Let's keep playing Sogard and Jake Arrieta pitching and Trevor Williams and all these guys, and let's keep getting bombed. Why not? Get the better draft pick. The ownership gave up before the season start. Why should the fans cling to anything at this point? That's really where we're at right now. And if you could feel some anger in my voice, it's there. It's there. Sorry I'm not being as professional as I can be right now and breaking down the box score with you and all that other kind of stuff. You know, if you didn't see the game, we lost 3-2. We lost to the Cardinals in extra innings. Yadier, overrated ass Molina, had the game-winning hit on a play that Jason Hayward probably catches, but Patrick Wisdom ended up in the outfield for bad shuffling of the lineup reasons, I suppose. And yeah, it's a bummer to see. You never want to see the Cardinals celebrate against our Cubs. And yes, Molina is overrated, everyone. I'll go, you want to hear some Molina stats? I know I'm due for a commercial break in a second, but let's hear some overrated stats on him. Here, as far as offensive production goes, he has not had an above average offensive season since 2018. So that's about four seasons ago. And then he was bad in 2017. He was good in 2016, below average in 2015. He had a nice little run, though, 2011 to 2014. Don't get me wrong. And he's a phenomenal defensive catcher. But as far as career war goes, he had two mega seasons in 2012 and 2013. I'll give him that. Over seven war each of those seasons. Really, from 2009 through 2013, he was the premier catcher in baseball. I'll say that. But everyone acts like he's this first ballot Hall of Famer, and Cardinals fans are crazy enough to think that they wouldn't even trade Mike Trout for him, which at this point, I got to imagine they're feeling different. He is 38 years old. But again, the last five, six seasons, he has been a below average baseball player. He's well beyond his prime, and I'm sick of the national baseball media acting like he's Johnny Bench. He's not. Bet Online, everybody. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and your UFC MMA action. So before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or cell phone and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as your teams prep for their runs to the playoffs, not us. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Hot damn, 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit? Sounds good to me. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Promo code LOCKEDON, one word, all caps. All right, Cubs fans, I did want to take a little bit of a further dive into some of the trade talk that's going around. Buster only tweeted that the Cubs don't have any firm asking prices yet, as he's heard from other teams. So it sounds like the Cubs will probably wait a little bit longer on who to trade if you're going off of Buster only. That being said, by the time this podcast is up, there might have been two or three trades. Who knows? You really can't predict. Nobody heard any rumors about Jock Peterson going anywhere, and then, bam, traded. So you just don't know this time of year, and every expert wants to be the first to scoop. They want the clicks on their articles, so you never know. But one rumor, and this is something I projected probably at the end of the 11-game losing streak on this podcast, I thought at that point, you know what, might as well have some fun with some speculation. We all, a lot of us grew up trading baseball cards, so it's kind of fun to do, thinking who's going to go where. I anticipated the Boston Red Sox would be looking for a first baseman. They've gotten very little production out of first base this season. Anthony Rizzo sure is only a rental, but he fits what they need perfectly. He still is a great defender. He's got playoff experience. He's a left-handed bat, which they need as well. And he's still an above-average hitter, believe it or not. He is still hitting above average. He's got a 110 WRC+. He's not the Anthony we know. He seems a little disconnected. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Maybe he personally wants out. You know, he was on the radio recently saying, no, nothing's changed. There's been no new offer since the spring training offer I rejected. And yeah, you know, that's that. And I'm sure that's a hard thing to write. I don't care if you're making $16 million. People need to understand everyone's got their own. You don't know what's going on in other people's heads. Yeah, they're incredibly fortunate. They're grateful for every dollar they get. But, you know, this guy's given a lot to this organization, to this city, and he's loved being a Cub, and he's loved the city of Chicago. And I'm sure there's part of him that's like, I can't believe this sucks. This is how this is going to end. And because of that, he's maybe trying too hard. He's pressing too much. And now he's at the point where I think he's just, maybe he wants to go. I mean, I'm totally speculating. I've not talked to Anthony Rizzo about this. He hasn't said anything like this, but I'm just trying to guess. I'm trying to wrap my brain around where he might be mentally with all that's happening. So Buster only also added the Boston Red Sox as a possibility. You know, silver lining at this point with a lot of these guys, I just want them to be happy. Definitely sounds like a breakup, doesn't it? I just want you to be happy, Anthony. We had some great years, and I'll always look back on our photo albums fondly. I promise myself I'm gonna cry. But you know, it's I could see him in a Boston uniform. There's a nice storyline there. The team that originally drafted him when he had gotten, and then he got cancer shortly after being drafted by them, and he beat cancer while he was a Red Sox. So him going back to Boston, if I'm already having visions of Anthony Rizzo catching the final out of the World Series again, sadly not wearing a Cubs uniform, but wearing a Red Sox uniform, and I'll be happy for him. I'll be cheering for him all the way. If that's where Rizzo ends up, then some of you might not like me for it, but the Red Sox will be my American League team, and I'll be rooting for them to win it all. With Anthony Rizzo in the middle of that pile at the end of them clinching it all, you know, winning that second ring. It'd be his second ring. It'll be their fifth ring since 2004, where they won in 04, 07, 13, 18. And if they win in 2021, that'll be five rings in the last two decades. Unbelievable. But you know what? The Cubs could go right back to that. You just got to have the guts. Got to have guts out there. The Boston Red Sox would never put their fan base through another long rebuild. They wouldn't do it. They won the World Series in 2018. 2019, they were bad. 2020, they made the trade for Mookie Betts, which I'm sure angered a ton of Red Sox fans. But here they are in 2021. Best record in the AL East. One of the best records in all of baseball. I think they have the second best record right now. Well on their way to making noise in October again. Think about if the Cubs did that. We'd be thrilled. If the 2022 Cubs end up in the playoffs and going on a deep run, we'd be ecstatic. It would take some of the pain off of 2021. But I don't think the Red Sox were going to be one of those teams that's going to just, yeah, they made the Mookie Betts deal because they offered him a lot big extension. He said no. They thought, all right, well, they made the tough choice. And might have been a little cheap because I thought, like, Mookie Betts is such a magical player that how are you not giving him what he asked for? But then again, how do you question a team that seems to win the World Series once every 5 years? You know, it leads a lot to it makes it really tough as a fan, though, when you don't know what direction your team's going in. And I think that's the real gripe we have as Cubs fans right now. Where are we going? Now, there's a lot of hate for Anthony Rizzo, and I'm going to call it hate. When you tweet Anthony Rizzo sucks, that's hate. And I told people, I'm like, look, I won't stand for Anthony Rizzo bashing. I won't stand for it. That guy has done so much for this organization. He is the reason you have World Series memorabilia. And what I also can't deal with, and I know I feel like it feels like I go after people on Twitter a lot, but this is just the world we live in right now. These same people call into sports radio. I hear them at bars. You know, I'm out and about. And I would tell them to their face. I go, listen, I'm frustrated too. He's frustrated. This isn't the level of play we're expecting from Anthony Rizzo. That was a terrible base running play, and he has seemed not like the same guy as of late. But dude, let's have some empathy. Let's put things into perspective a little bit. Because you know the day he gets traded or the day he's wearing a different uniform, you're going to have a big, long post. Thanks for the memories, Anthony. You were my favorite Cub. You know, I'll always remember 2016. I had my grandparents didn't get to see a World Series, but you delivered. You caught the final out. It'll always be etched in my brain. Thank you so much, Anthony. Meanwhile, 1 week earlier, you were like, he sucks. You said he sucked 1 week earlier. Oh, I was just mad and frustration. Don't tweet that. We're not all reporters. Everyone acts like they're their own reporter. I have to report what I see. No, you don't. Unless you are a reporter, then yeah, you're literally probably contractually obligated to. But yeah, it's, I don't know. I don't get the sending the bad vibes Anthony Rizzo's way. He's, to me, a Cubs legend. He's someone who should be cherished and honored every time he comes back into the city. I hope he's here, though. I obviously would love for Anthony Rizzo to be a Cub. But I also don't want him to be with his tail between his legs going, fine, I'll take the low ball offer. That might be even lower this time around. No, I'd rather him move on and get paid close to what he's deserved. Because it's hard to stay with the same company after feeling insulted and taking a big pay cut. That's hard to do. I can imagine a lot of people in their jobs would feel the same way, regardless of the amount of money. You know what you're worth. You know what you've provided. And I know you don't pay for past, you pay for future. Another Theoism that no Cubs fan or any fan had said before he brought that to the forefront. All right, hopefully tomorrow on the podcast, I'll be reporting on a Cubs victory in which we split the series. We'll preview the Arizona weekend series coming up. And I'm going to have some storylines for you. I'm already compiling top five storylines for the post-trade Cubs world or the end of the era Cubs thing to look forward to. Trust me, Brennan Davis will be one of them. If you're not on the Brennan Davis hype train, get on it right now. Go YouTube some highlights of this kid because he's going to be special. All right, Cubs fans, thank you for checking out Locked On Cubs. I've been your host, Joe Kilgallen. And as always, of course, go Cubs. Locked On Bets, everybody. Betting on the NBA, MLB, or NFL doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts.